Hello, welcome to Nerdy Pause, where we're going to talk about some furry stuff and we're going to talk about some nerdy stuff. I'm Barbershop Wolfie.
This is Flynn Roush.
And today we're just going to sort of talk about some general furry topics that Flynn and I thought were worth talking about, and we thought it'd be fun to have some drinks and shoot the shit.
I was about to say, be warned, there's alcohol involved.
There is alcohol involved, but I'm pretty sure the people who regularly listen to us, which isn't a lot of people, but still, you know, the people who listen to us will find it humorous.
I hope so.
Yeah. And won't just find us sad and first.
Nah, they love us.
Alright, so our first little bullet point of the night is, Flynn and I are both going to discuss how we found the fandom. So, Flynn, do you want to go first?
Sure, I'll go first. I covered this briefly in the first cast that we did, the first episode. So I can't remember exactly what caused it, but I went looking for Digimon stuff. I was rewatching the series again, and I was like, hey, you know, let's look around and see what there is on the internet. And I came across a Yahoo group that had stories.
Oh, Yahoo group.
Yeah,
I remember those.
It had a story of a certain theme, and I was like, interesting, which caused me to look for more, which brought me to another forum where it was just that, just the naughty stuff. And then I was RPing in some forum section or whatever, and then somebody else, they PM'd me and were like, so there's this thing called furry, and you sound a lot like one, and
join
the dark side. So they referred me, and I was like, this seems kind of interesting. So I kind of started to RP and made it up as I went along, and then somebody was like, yeah, welcome to F-Chan. Here's what F-Chan is. And I was
holy shit.
Oh
my god. I only discovered that about like 1.5 years ago, and I was like, oh my god, what? How did I never find this before?
I guess we should put a timeline on it. So that would have been, I was still doing my undergrad, so that would have been 2005?
Oh my god. That's
2005, yeah.
That's crazy, because like, that's when I started sort of admitting to myself, it's like, okay, Barbie, this isn't just, you know, this isn't just a thing that you do as a hobby. It's kind of like more, you know, it's not a phase that you were going to grow out of, like, you know, being into anime for a while that you grew out of. It's like, no, you're kind of doing this a lot.
I think it was 2005 or 2006. I'll check while you, because that forum is still going. I'll check now while you're answering the question. So I'll ask you, Barbie, how did you find the fandom?
You're gonna laugh your ass off.
I hope so.
It's a lot like your story, but mine involved Lion King characters.
Of course it did.
And it was straight at the time. Mm-hmm. It isn't anymore. But I actually started, like, I was searching for furry porn before I knew it was furry porn. Like,
yeah, that was the same with me.
No, I found this word yiffy, and I was like, okay, I guess that is what this is called. And then I found out later, I was like, okay, that's just sort of like a, you know, funny, quirky little word, you know, still sort of means something, but also it's like, it's not a word that you hear people say out loud a lot. As opposed to, like, you know. But yeah, anyway, that's pretty much how I found. This is the part where we mention again that alcohol is involved in the podcast.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me at all. That it was Lion King for you. Just, you know.
Oh my god.
Having talked.
Having talked, quote unquote, in excess, in mass, about, you know, sexy lions and.
Okay, I just did a quick look. Do you want me to tell you which the date?
Yes. Tell me the date, please.
It was my birthday in 2005.
Happy birthday!
Oh, best birthday present ever. Furry. Totally. Yes, and it was 2005. So as of this September, it'll be 6 years furry. Wow. Scary.
I think I'm sort of slowly going up to that because, like, I discovered this when I was about 14 years old.
Oh my God.
And I'm like 21 now. Like, but when I was like, I'm way more active in it now than I way used to be. Like,
Oh,
if
enormously
I'm,
so, yeah.
obviously, this podcast is testament to that
Oh, there's
because
art of you now.
there is art. Yeah, and there's also art of me now, which is like even more. I'm just sort of like, you know what? This isn't just like some dumb thing that I do. It's like, this isn't going away. In fact, it's becoming a bigger part of what I do, in my spare time.
A few years into it, there was an online friend that I had, and he was like, I'm going to cons and buying stuff and commissioning art. And he was like, yeah, but it is me. And I'm like, no, it's not. It's a character that you pretend to be online, like you're being ridiculous and you're spending way too much money on it. And now I'm like, I wish I had more money to spend on it because I'm at that point now. So yeah, it is one of those weird things that just kind of grows on you. Or for some people, I guess it doesn't. But for me, it definitely did.
Yeah, and some people, like, I'll see some old, like, I don't even know what it was. I think it was, I saw some, like, old washed up furry making a YouTube video or something, because I think it was about, like, this Tyra Banks scandal that, like, went around Fur Affinity when she had furries on her show, and she pretty much, like, paraded them all around the stage so, like, her audience could laugh at them, essentially. And she, like, asked really stupid fucking questions. She's like, so do you get horny when you go to Disney World? And, like, she was, and she was asking, like, really dumb questions, and, like, I don't even remember the person's name, but it was like this girl and her mate, like, they were a heterosexual mated furry couple for all intents and purposes, kind of normal, but they like brought their fursuits there, so I was like, ugh. I was
And
like,
they weren't good ones either. Like they weren't Scribble Fox ones.
they were
They were
very,
very generic.
very generic,
Chew
very.
Fox and Temcat.
Yes, Chew Fox. I remember that because everyone was crucifying her. It was awful. And at
Yeah.
the time, like, that was sort of like when I really researched, I was like, oh my God, everyone's like hating on this girl
Oh man,
hardcore.
Dragonair just killed her.
Oh my, yeah.
Oh, Fur
Furry
Affinity.
against furry against furry crime. But anyway, like, that's when I found this person, like, on the internet who actually made a YouTube video who said he grew out of the furry fandom. And I was just sort of like, how did that happen? Because, like, and obviously, I'm a bright-eyed and bushy-tailed 21-year-old, still young and stupid. So, like, maybe in 10 years, I'll be like, remember when I used to do that dumb shit? Like, maybe one day there'll come a day when, like, that's what I'm doing, but I
No.
don't know.
No, you will be one of the gray muzzles at a con someday telling everybody about what the fandom was like in the early 21st century. Or at least I will be. That'll be
We'll
me.
gray muscles together and we'll drink at the bar and drag our friend Dorky Wolf off the dance floor for the umpteenth time.
I'm not sure at what point you start being a gray muzzle. I mean, I'm 27, so getting there, maybe? I don't know.
Maybe. It really is, like, age really is in a lot of ways a state of mind, but even so, like, I think if you have gray hair, you're a gray muzzle.
But now there's a guy that I go to school with, and he's 24, and he has gray hair. So you can't go by that.
That's very unfortunate for him.
Yeah. He doesn't even dye it. Actually, it doesn't look too bad on him, but yeah, whatever. It works for some people. Anyway.
But we digress, and our second thing that we want to talk about tonight is our favorite thing about the fandom. And I'm really interested in what yours is, Flynn, so.
Porn, no. Even though that is a very nice aspect of it. One thing that I like is that the fandom seems to be very accepting of a lot of things that you wouldn't necessarily be able to say to people that you fraternize with on a daily basis. Like even just saying like, oh yeah, animal people, and the other person will be like, yeah, totally. And just be on that same level with you, it bridges a lot of gaps immediately because I guess there's the whole, fursecution thing. where
That's a
people.
very good word for it. Like, I've never heard that before.
Really?
I've never heard that, and that's a perfect word for
Oh
it.
yeah, that's it's been around since it's been around ages now.
Been around since 2005.
Well, at least since then. But yeah, so I guess people who feel kind of ostracized because of the same thing can easily make a connection because of that. You know, just you can make really strong friendships with people based on interests that you share. And this is a very specific interest that you can't really share about the world with a whole lot of other people. So
Yeah,
sometimes
because
you
it's like even if it's just like something as like, watching animated movies that happen to like, involve animal people. If like, if you tried to if I tried to say to my friends, like if I was some like stereotypical jock frat guy and I was like, "Dude, I just really love watching Robin Hood." Everyone really like, "The fuck you talking about, man?" But like if I go to Furafin and everyone's going to be like, "Oh my God, me too." Like, "You too?"
yeah, exactly. So it's just it kind of breaks down a lot of barriers very quickly. Now, completely beyond that, there are, tons of barriers that come up immediately
I mean,
between
in
people.
any group of anything, there's always going to be cliques, period. I wish there wasn't, but like every so often, it's going to happen. Even in like, the dumb, silly online communities, it doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter if it's, furries or Trekkies, there's still like all these like certain types of cliques of people who's like, "Oh, you like Spock more than Kirk? Well, I mean, I guess if that's what you like," or like, there's always that degree of separation, but at least in the furry community, it's always sort of, well, we're at least all on the same wavelength of we like animal people, we think they're cool, like, more so than the average bear, right?
No, I yeah, I totally agree with you there. It's magical.
Oh, God. Oh God. I'm gonna enjoy listening to you say that later after we're done recording.
Oh goody. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think that about covers my favorite thing. Just like, it's you can just relate to people on a very deep level that tends toward the very naughty.
Oh Lord. The RPs that we've had.
Shh. And my second favorite thing is the porn. So, you tell me what is your favorite thing?
I think just the in a lot of ways I think it's a really unique of expressing oneself, 'cause it's just like I talked to you about doing this as a topic for a podcast, but like I got too like English nerdy and analytical about like the function of furry in a lot of
Yes, you
ways.
did.
But I did but I do find it fascinating that like, instead of saying, you're smiling or something, if you're like in the middle of an RP or if you're even just like, defining yourself by an animal person, instead of like saying, "Oh, I'm smiling," it's like, "No, I'm wagging my tail." It's so different, yet somehow, it's this almost cartoonish exaggeration of oneself, but at the same time, it still kind of works in a way, even to someone who wouldn't even know what furries are. It's like, if someone, you see a dog, like a feral dog, wag their tail, you know immediately what that means. And it's, I don't know, I think it's a really interesting and unique way of expressing oneself and defining oneself as a, as an animal person of one's choosing. Because, like, when you think about it, if, like, one wants to get into the quote unquote weird furries, it's like, the furries who dress up in fursuits, it's really just sort of playing Halloween on a day that's not Halloween, dressing as a creature of your own invention.
I don't think people who dress up in fursuits are that weird.
That's what I said, like, quote unquote weird.
Yeah.
Like, that's what I mean, like, the furries that, like, everyone's always like, "Oh my God, those weird guys who dress up in fursuits and have sex." It's like, and yeah, if you went on XTube, no, you definitely find it, actually. You wouldn't probably find it. I
There
know it's
is.
there.
It's me too.
I've seen
Shh.
it
Don't
there.
incriminate yourself. You're incriminating yourself now.
Dude, I'm drunk doing a podcast with you. I'm already incriminating myself.
True. My thing about it that I don't understand is that people will look at a sports mascot and they'll be like, yeah, fine. And then they'll look at a fursuit and look at it as something to be abhorred or ridiculed. When,
yes,
if you look at the amount of money that goes into the branding of that sports team and probably the sheer cost of that outfit, it's like...
An outfit probably costs like $250.
Well, I mean, like a furry fursuit. Like, I mean, if you get like a middle of the road one, that's probably like, you know, yeah, $250 to $500. Those suits that say like professional sports teams have, they're probably ridiculously expensive because they have to stand up. They, you know, they're probably, yeah, periodically repaired throughout a season, but they're probably, you know, super sturdy and like built to last.
Also, they might even have, like, you know, fancy things in it, like fans or something. Because, you know, if you're, like, a football mascot, like, you're out in the field in, like, you know, August.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, when it's 80, at least here, it's, like, you know, 80 freaking degrees where I am. Like, you're way further north than I am.
So yeah, it's still freaking hot as balls. Hang on, let me Google it. It's 18 degrees now. It's after midnight, which is 64. But today it was up in the upper 80s today.
I would go look at my phone, but I've had a few, and it's kind of cramped in the corner where my laptop and my microphone is, and I'm afraid I'm going to knock something over. So I'm not going to attempt that. But no, it's 72 degrees. Thank you, weather widget on my desktop.
The fan was just great. It's hard to pin down a singularly favorite thing. I'm sure when I finally get to go to a con, I'll have...
If I ever go to a con, and that's like a really big if in a lot of ways, just because I feel like it's sort of, in a lot of ways, even though it's a stupid way to think of it, I feel like it's an admission of defeat, sort of. It's like, man, fucking, like, I said I wasn't gonna, like, be one of those people... And now I'm one of those people. Damn it, but I like it.
Yeah, oh, it's...
Man.
It's not an admission of defeat. It's, well, for me anyway.
I know it isn't. It's just like, you know, part of me is always going to feel like it is, even though the other part of me is like, dude, you want to be here. You're going to meet so many awesome people. The other part of me is like, man. Because I felt the same way when I was like so adamantly against anime. Because like I knew so many Japanophiles who annoyed the fuck out of me. And oh my god, they were so annoying, and one of them had this like really stupid creepy crush on me, which I'll probably tell you about after this is over, because I know you're gonna want to hear about it, because she was freaking psycho. But
oh well, I mean, say no more, girl. Run. turn and run.
Oh lord. But yeah, anyway, like I felt the same way about anime, and then like when I started reading manga, oh god, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Oh god, the Japanophiles might decapitate me if I pronounce it wrong. But, like, I started reading it, and then I was like, man, I really like this. But I always said I wasn't going to. Damn it.
Yeah, I guess. You can't really control what you like, so...
Yeah, and that's part of why I'm just sort of like, you know, it's a stupid inner conflict to have, and you know, part of why it feels so lame is because I admit it. I'm like, man, this is a stupid, even like, it's stupid this is even an issue. And I'm like, man. Let's sigh.
That'll change when you do go to a con.
Yeah.
You'll flip out and lose your mind, and the Sunday will come when you have to leave, and you'll be like, I want to live here forever. I bet. Or who knows, you could quit the fandom forever in massive irony quotes, of course, because I don't think I've ever seen anybody do that, but they're always back under a very similar username, posting the same kind of things.
That's really funny.
So then, on to the third question, then.
Is furry a fetish? Which I'm kind of excited to talk about.
Okay, you go first, then.
I think it really only is if you perceive it that way, because it's like, you know, people say it's like, oh, furry is all about porn. It's like, well, if that's all you look at it and that's all you see it as, then yes. all furry is porn to that person. It's sort of like subjective. It's really subjective in a way as to how you involve yourself with the community of the furries that, like, you know, you're a part of. 'Cause, I don't know. It's like some people say it's like, you know, is furry bestiality? It's like, well, it's only bestiality if you personally, as a self-identifying furry, imagine it that way. Because some people even will say it's like, oh, well, you know, if you look at any furry porn, you're obviously looking at bestiality. It's like, well, if you fantasize it and you hope for it, you know, if you like paint it in that way as bestiality, then yes, for you, it is bestiality. But the thing about furryism, as you know, as like, I don't know, I guess I want to say social movement, but I'm like, it's not a fucking social movement. Like, I
No.
guess as a community, it's just as much of a collective it is, it is also very individual. Because it's like if you I don't know. Because it's like you see those people, and I don't mean to say like those people as like, you know, oh, those freaking weirdos. Because let's face it, we're all furries. We're all fucking
Oh
weirdos.
yeah. And how?
Yeah, and how is right. But it's you see some people who really get into the side of the spiritual connection to their persona, and it's like, you know, oh, you know, if I wanted to say like a wolf is my spirit animal, and you know, because I was born in such a time of the year, and you know, there's this Native American folklore about such and such animal, and I feel it really connects with me. It's like some people really get into that, but like that's what furry is for them, but it isn't, you know, that isn't necessarily what it is for me or for you or for somebody else. 'Cause like I said, as much as it is about collective, it's also very individual in many ways, which is why I can't say like if someone personally views furry as a personal fetish of theirs, then yes, it is a fetish. But if you don't, then you don't, then it isn't.
So then, what is it to you?
What is it to me? It's That's a rare, very hard question to answer in a lot of ways, because like I've seen furry porn, I have, and I've enjoyed some of it too. I mean, let's be honest, I have, period. Anyone who knows me well enough knows that I have. I think the fact that just that I'm in such close contact with you and some of the other friends that I have, primarily through the internet, primarily through people who, you know, I've met through this, you know, quote unquote fetish that I've had, has sort of made it evolve into something else other than like, you know, ooh, hot gay furry porns. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Like, I feel like, in a lot of ways, at least for me personally, possibly it used to be a fetish, but it was never really so much about, you know, imagining myself having sex with a dog person. Because I think you actually said this once. We were talking about human furry crossover
Yes.
fiction, and I was like, that sort of breaks the illusion though, in a lot of ways. It's sort of like, you know, breaking the fourth wall if you're like, you know, watching a play and then someone speaks directly to the audience. It's sort of like fucks up the illusion. Or like if you saw a stage hand, you were watching a play, and then you like saw a technician doing something, you know, you weren't supposed to see them do, and then you're like, oh man, you know,
But now,
it's
in the context of the human ex-furry, it was Digimon stuff. So, I mean, it was kind of implied throughout the course of the series that, like, you know, they really care about their partner. They're throwing around the word partner a whole lot. So, like,
Yeah.
it really wasn't a very. It was kind of like Frodo and Sam. It's like not really that
I
deep. You don't have to go.
lost you.
You don't have to go that deep to find it.
Like,
But yeah,
it's pretty
continue.
easy to make inferences. It's just like, okay, yeah, here's your partner, all right.
Yeah, there's even a couple of screen grabs from here and there where some of them are in kind of like compromising positions. You're like, okay,
And let
I'll
me
show, I'll
guess,
sh
you probably like saw them on like, because I know I used to go to this website when it was still around, DigiArtist Domain.
Yeah.
That was one of like the first times in my life I was like, how the hell did I not know this existed before?
That's where I became introduced to furry, yeah.
That's crazy.
Okay,
random alcohol pause.
Is it my turn?
It is your turn.
Okay. I'm going to unabashedly steal my answer from people a lot better read and more popular in the fandom than me. Because it came up in the Unsheathed podcast when they were because it's a question that comes up a couple of times and they always answer it the same way. But for me personally, it's not a fetish. It's a quasi lifestyle in that I feel that everything that you apply furry to is better when it's applied. So, like, if you're watching, you know, whatever movie that you like, if every character was replaced with an animal person, it would be better just by the simple fact that they're animal people and I like them better. You know, or literature, or I mean, lately in gaming there has been virtually none, like no anthros at all. I'm trying to, like, maybe Ratchet and Clank, whatever their last title was.
Yeah, and I think in a lot of ways, I think the joke is always, it's always easy to...
Uh-oh.
Oh no, are we okay? We had there's a problem with the call.
Yes, okay, hello? I'm back.
Ah, we're back. We had technical difficulties.
This is what happens when you use Skype.
Oh, Lord. And we're still recording, though.
Oh, yes.
So that'll be a fun little hiccup that will be, you know, fun to listen to later because I don't feel like recording this again.
No, of course not.
What
were you saying?
I can't remember. Damn it. No, but you were talking about furry as a lifestyle and...
Yeah, and that everything... Oh, right, okay.
Everything gets better when it's furry. And I think in a lot of ways... what I was talking to you before when I was saying, you know, I wanted to explore, it's like, why do people think it's better? I just think it's a more interesting and unique way of expressing oneself or expressing emotion. Just like, even with like a simple, you know, description as like, you know, Flynn twitched his ears nervously.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, it's such like a small movement, but it'll tell so much with, you know, when at the same time it's, not really doing much as far as like physical action or movement. And one of the whole like mantras in lots of schools of writing will say, you know, show not tell.
Yes.
And I think in a lot of ways that sort of exaggeration of personifying human characteristics onto an animal really sort of helps that in a lot of ways. It like shows, as you know, it's, you know, even if it's just, you know, you playing a game of like, you know, okay, if this personality of, you know, Joshua White was an animal, what animal would they be and why? And, you know, how would their physical actions and physicality change when personified onto an animal? Which I think in a lot of ways is what makes furries so, like, on the same wavelength on a lot of things.
Well, even if you ask wet your whistle. Even if you ask non-furries about the traits of certain animals, they might not necessarily say the same things that furries would say, but there's still an association. So if you were to say, you know, well, what do you associate a lion with? Royalty. What do you associate a fox with? And here's where it would differ, because the fandom would say, oh, the slut. But a non-furry would say, oh, you know, they're, you know, clever and crafty, or, you know, otters are playful, and, you know, lions are loners, wolves are, you know, pack animals that are fiercely loyal. So, you know, there are some
sort of like archetypal, you know, animal characteristics. If like someone says, it's like, you know, ooh, that Flynn, he's a fucking snake. It's like, you know, they're not saying you're a literal snake and they're not comparing you to a snake, but at the same time, there's a certain amount of characteristics that are applied to, you know, that animal, whether you want them to or not, just because it's such an archetypal, you know, type of image of, like, you know, ooh, you know, that barbershop wolfie, he's such a damn snake, I hate him.
Mm-hmm.
And well, it's not that they, you know, are, you know, consciously personifying me to a slithering animal with a, you know, flicking fork-like tongue or something. It's just, you know, it's just, it's so embedded into our culture, but also it's not something that people really think about so much anymore. And then, you know, when people who eventually will identify as furry start thinking about it a lot, and then like, man, you're, you know, normal people, quote unquote, will be like, man, you're fucking thinking about this too much. Chill out. You're being all weird.
Mm. But even in terms of just expressing yourself online, which is always tends to be ambiguous.
Yeah.
You know, it's hard to say, you know, is that sarcasm? Is that mean and nasty? Is it just genuinely nice? If you, you know, put between brackets, you know, tail wag or nuzzle or something like that, you know, it just gives you the body language that goes along with it. And again, I guess it's something else that really goes along with doing the descriptors with animals, is that animals are kind of the champions of body language, and they even read our body language very well. You know, there's not really a whole lot of verbal communication, so expressing something that way, you can't break it down into words, but the idea is very clear and immediately recognizable to somebody else.
And that's what I think is so interesting about them, and what I was sort of saying about, like, that's my favorite thing about the fandom, is that, like you said, like, you know, animals in a lot of ways are the champions of body language, and just from a creative standpoint, I think that's a very interesting thing to pursue, because one of the, like, one very famous author who, you know, obviously wasn't a furry author, Brian Jocks, who wrote the Redwall series that had like 21 books or something in it, all the characters were animals.
Yeah.
But, you know, obviously it wasn't a quote-unquote furry novel. Someone can interpret it as such, but, you know, the author never, you know, affirmed that belief or denied that belief. He's like, yeah, the characters are peace-loving mice of Redwall, and that's what they are. And, you know, because it's a children's book, it's a little bit easier to get away with it without looking like a weirdo. As opposed to, you know, if you wrote an adult novel, like, and I mean like an adult novel, like, you know, cheesy romance novel with all the sexual innuendos you can stand, you know, $4 Walmart section romance novel. It's like, you know, with all furry characters, everyone's like, this guy's a freaking whack job. And, but I think the reason that it's, God damn it, this, I'm just going to drink my beer and stop talking.
You started going on a tangent and your mouth wasn't ready to go there yet. You got a pretty mouth.
Don't ever say that to me again.
Oh, I will, especially if it'll elicit a reaction.
Oh, Lord.
All right, so then break it down then into one word then to answer the last question. Is furry a fetish?
Dicks.
you know what? All I can think about right now is just before we came on, is Dorky sent me a staged version of The Internet is for Porn.
Oh my god.
So I'm like, well, The Internet is for Porn, and the fandom came about via the internet.
Oh, Lord.
Ergo.
So by the associative property of geometry.
No, I think that's actually a mathematical property. I don't think it's specific to geometry.
You're making sense. You shouldn't do that.
Sorry. oh dear. Oh dear. Well, I think we're probably coming close to our time limit.
Yeah, so
but this was...
I think I've made enough of a fool of myself to turn off the recording.
Yeah, but this is fun though. I think I think we you know covered some good ground. Maybe maybe people might be interested enough in what we think to pose questions for us another time. Maybe.
Yes, please.
That would be nice.
We'd really love it if you guys leave questions for us to possibly answer in the next podcast.
Yeah, that makes it a whole lot easier for us instead of dreaming up
Thank
random
you.
content. I was at the grocery store and I was texting Dorky. I'm like, oh my God, I need a question for tonight. But yeah, so you can either leave an IM for myself or for Barbershop Wolfie on our respective Ink Bunny pages.
Or yeah, but this was Nerdy Paws, the podcast that still has no outro, and
Help us.
we will see you guys next time. Thank you so much for listening, and please watch us on Ink Bunny and or leave us comments because comments are awesome. Thank you guys, and we will see you next time. Bye.
Later.